Let me give you this thing. I know how to do it. Okay. I'm not ready to put this up yet. And so I wanted to just welcome everybody. I know that they've already welcomed you here, but I didn't give you the big Texas welcome, which is, we Muslims, of course, we say, peace be upon you all, which is, assalamu alaikum. But when I came into Islam, I had some baggage from Texas. I can't quite get rid of it, so I say, assalamu alaikum, y'all. I ask Allah forgive me for my silly way, but I have fun, and I hope that you'll enjoy your program today. Because whether you do or not, we're going to do the program, so you might as well go ahead and enjoy it. But we did put it on for you, which means basically that if you see something you like, you're most welcome to just go ahead and express your enjoyment any way you like. Muslims usually say they like Allahu Akbar. But other people, they like to clap, and some people, they, if you see something, you know, make you happy, well, you go right ahead and laugh, and if you see something make you sad, well, you can go ahead and cry, that'll be all right, too. It's your program. Like I said, either way, we're going to try to do it, so, inshallah. That means if God wills and the Greeks don't rise. Another Texas translation. My name is Yusuf Estes. I carry a big title, and for whatever it's worth, I'm the National Muslim Chaplain for the Madrasatul Alameen al-Shabab al-Islamiyya. You can say that without any hardship, you'll fast. In addition to that, I'm also the delegate to the United Nations World Peace Summit for religious leaders. And by the time you say all of that, you can't even get it on a card, even on both sides, so they just call me the Sheikh. That's it. That fits real nice. Some people ask me, what does Sheikh mean? And actually in Arabic it carries three meanings. It means one who is endowed with a great amount of knowledge in the religion of Islam. And I don't feel like qualified for that. The second one, though, is one who is kind of like a rich oil baron, like we might have in Texas or something in the old days, and that's a sheikh of money, or a tribal leader, somebody who's the sheikh of the tribe, and I don't qualify for that. So we got to look real close at the last one. It means a kindly old man, and you're trying to give him respect in the community. So I guess that's where we're going to have to go with that. By now, I hope that our online partners have got everything lined up. I think we're doing a simultaneous broadcast, both online with the Islam Live. Live Islam, I'm so sorry for those who are going to be upset with me about that. Trust me, there's a lot worse things I do. But in addition to that, we are also broadcasting with another of our partners in this great effort, which is idly.net, and also with our own website, which is a doorway to it, islamtomorrow.com. Now it's time for a couple commercials, and then we're ready to get started. And I know in the West everybody's used to commercials, so it's not any problem. And they're not really too much. But the websites that we use are open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking, so that you can just get your mouse right in there and you'll be good to go. Next thing I'll tell you is that these websites are actually designed in English for the benefit of English speakers who want to know more about Islam, and that we hope to present it in as clear and concise a manner as possible. But what we say as Muslims when someone asks us, regardless of how they ask the question or what the question is, our response should always be, thank you for asking me about my religion, and then to tell you that we, as Muslims, are committed to truth. Our explanations that we give must be true, otherwise we can be punished and go to hell forever. So this is something a lot of people don't realize, that a Muslim has to tell the truth. And Allah said it in the Quran, O you who believe, that you have to stand firm for justice and speak the word of truth, even if it's against yourself and your loved ones. This is a clear statement in the Quran. Then our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, told us that if a person's a liar, dies as a liar, he can go to hell. Just like that. So we definitely want you to know that we're going to do our best. If we make mistakes, these are not intentional. The next thing is to mention that we have sources for what we are telling you that is agreed upon by the Muslims, the general body of Muslims worldwide. Okay? That means that we have the actual literature that was produced 1400 years ago that supports the arguments that we have in favor of what we say. This is not something that was thought up last week in a convention. This is not something that was put together 10 years ago at a council meeting. This is something that has been with Islam for 1400 years, the first of which is the Quran. The Quran is not considered by Muslims, by the way, to be a book that's inspired by men or inspired by God, but rather it's the actual speech of God. That's very important to know that, because there's a difference between other religions and Islam in this aspect. We do not believe that the Quran is something written by a human being, but rather it is something that came by way of the angel Gabriel through a human being, which is Muhammad, peace be upon him. But he did not put his twist on it or his ideas on it, and didn't discover some old scrolls laying around in a cave and made it all up. The Quran itself is evidence of that. Okay, the next thing is to mention something that is called the traditions, narrations, or hadith, that's the Arabic word, means stories that relate to Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how he explained what Allah means by the things that have been said in the Quran. So these are the two things that support each other. The Quran tells you to listen to what Muhammad is telling you, and then Muhammad is telling you this is what Allah means by what he has said. So understand that we don't expect you to accept that for yourself, that's your choice, but to know where we got it from. It's not something made up by somebody down the street last week. Okay? Having said that, I'll tell you that a lot of times people ask questions to us that really kind of confuse us in a way, because we don't know how to answer them. Not that Islam is not prepared to provide the answer, but rather because the questions have something in them that doesn't work. The question is a harsh question, not in that it's difficult to answer, but rather it's harsh in the sense that the question contains incorrect information. And the one, my favorite one to use, so that everybody can see it real quick, is when somebody's trying to insult you, they're trying to start a fight with you, trying to pick on you, and you can see that that's all they're trying to do. So what? How would you handle what they're saying to you? And I'll give you an example of that. Somebody comes to you and says, can you answer for me yes or no any question? And you say, yeah, I guess so, go ahead. And say, yeah, is your mother out of prison yet? But my mother, no. We said yes or no. Yes or no, can you answer the question? Well, you can answer it correctly by saying yes, because your mother's not in a prison, is she? So you have to choose yes or no, true or false, right? So you've decided, well, I'll go with that option. Yes, my mother is not in prison. Well, I'm sure glad she got out. So this is not really somebody who's asking you a question. This is somebody trying to start fighting. It's somebody trying to hurt your feelings, intimidate you, or cause some kind of problem. Now, if somebody wants to do that, that's their choice. You know, that's one of the great things about living in a free country. And we all live here. That's good news. But to be fair, to be honest, I don't think most people here got that attitude. I think everybody here would really like to know, but we've been fed a lot of incorrect information. A lot of what we hear, a lot of what we see, is very much slanted, tainted, and sometimes fabricated. Not correct. But that's okay. And I'm going to tell you why. There is no commitment or fear on the part of a journalist that he's going to go to hell forever if he tells a little story when he's trying to get a Pulitzer Prize. Is that right? When you're trying to sell newspaper ads, it doesn't work real good to talk about three Boy Scouts that helped an old lady across the street. That's not page one, is it? And yet there are a lot of Boy Scouts that help people every day. I've been a Boy Scout leader for a number of years. And I will tell you that there are plenty of good, wonderful people out there doing a lot of good deeds that are never recorded by anybody. That doesn't mean it's not there. But people are waiting for the one chance that a Boy Scout leader will make a mistake and do something bad, and that's front page. Is it? And so the same for religion. There are a lot of good works that the churches do, yet they wait. They don't put that on front page that the church fed the homeless and the hungry and provided for these people with clothing. Do they do that? Is that front page? No. But the first time a priest makes a mistake, that's page one. Is that right? We saw that. And a lot of people were accused of things, maybe they did or didn't do it, but all of a sudden in a land where they're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, everybody was guilty until they could be proven innocent. If anybody leveled any charges at any of the priests, immediately they were considered guilty by the entire congregation. Is that right? Yes, it was. And so we see that we're dealing with something that's quite unfair. And there's nothing we can really do about it because this is freedom of speech, freedom of the press. But I guess there is something we as Americans can do. You know what that is? Just don't buy any products from the people that are advertising them in crazy papers. That will wake them up in a hurry. But now to get on with our business at hand, the brothers asked me to give you a little taste of something that we put together, talking about Islam. And as I want to remind everybody, we are broadcasting live on two separate programs right now. For the benefit of those that just staggered in, a lot of times on these desks, when you're giving speeches, they have water for the guy to drink out of. Not always, though. It's usually in a bottle like this, and it's usually a glass or something. If there was any doubt in your mind about these beers from Texas, they didn't have any more. He's from Texas. Well, you know what they say, ye the wildest? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Anyhow, don't make fun of Bush. He's my boy. Let me see what we got here. I think we're on the right one, but just in case, you know, let's go with basics. We have a program which I'd like for you to watch it with me, and I'll try to narrate it for you. I think probably they gave you. Just a second. If not yet, I don't want it up there until I got the. What I want to do is. Here it is. What I want to do is open up a program. I think this is the one. No. Aha! See there? Well, I must be psychic or something. It's just like Kim's in my mind, and there it is. It's fantastic. We're close. I think this is it. I got too many programs. I'm just going to sort those out today. And so while you're listening to me breathing here, I will tell you that we have several programs lined up for today. You're getting in the middle. I think some of you have been here for a while. And I'm not going to try to draw this out. That's why I want to do an abbreviated presentation. think we got it now. Yeah, this is it. Control V. It's not. No, it's function tree. There we go. Yeah, let's do that. I'm at a. If the time has arrived here in this part of the world for what's called the Adhan. This is the introduction to the hour when we begin our prayer. So they need to do that before we can continue. As soon as he finishes that, we don't have to pray right away, but we do have to give this acknowledgement. It's like on time. So do we have the words Muazzin? Okay. Can we go ahead and do it now?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
I bear witness there's none to worship except God alone.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
I bear witness that there's none worthy to be worshipped except God alone.
Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Almighty God.
Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Almighty God.
Hayya 'ala s-salah. This window you see is actually taken by moi,
while I was flying in the airplane, I have my camera all the time, and I shot this picture. And by the way, I got thrown off an airplane for having a camera. They have a rule now, you can't take pictures in airplane if you're dressed like this. All right, let's start it up again. Here we go. 4, 3, 2, 1. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Islam Medium Presentation. The Understanding Islam. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. By the way, the timing's off in this a little bit, so. Welcome to Understanding Islam, a presentation of IslamTomorrow.com. This is licensed to the Nadwat al-Amin Shabab of Islam, the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, WAMI. The purpose of this project is to show the basic Islam and use plain English means to examine the Quran, introduce Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, answer common questions, and remove the misconceptions. Let's all learn the real truth about the world's fastest growing religion, Islam. And those who follow it, Muslims. We'll begin with the chapter of the Quran called the opening. We'll explain what does Islam mean as a verb and a noun, the Muslims and who they are, Allah, does it mean God, the actions or the five pillars of Islam, the beliefs or the six pillars of faith, the source of Islam based on Quran and its teachings, Muhammad, peace be upon him, a prophet, the mosques, schools, leaders, and teachers, and then issues like women, terrorism, and jihad. The Quran, as we said earlier, is considered the speech of Allah, and it begins with the name of Allah, the beneficent, the compassionate. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the ruler on the day of judgment. You only do we worship, and you only do we ask for guidance. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who have your favor, and not the path of those who have your anger, nor of those who have gone astray. That's the opening 7 verses of the Quran. Islam, what is Islam? Does it mean peace? Does Islam allow terrorism? For this we need light of understanding. That's supposed to look like you got a lighter. Understanding the two meanings of Islam as a verb and as a noun. As a verb from film. I'm going to say it right this time. I'll say it right. Film. Maybe change time. Means to surrender, submit, obey, and do it in sincerity and peace. So it describes your relationship with your God. And all creation is in submission and surrender to God. As a noun, it means a way of life and submission, obedience, and peace. And it's the name of the religion of those who submit to God. So you can understand it two ways. The way that it comes as from the time that God began creating, and also from as a noun from the time of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as a formal name of a religion. Now, as regards Muslim, what does that mean? And who are Muslims? And what do Muslims want? That's quite a crew to experiment on. I think that was in West Virginia. And again, this also needs more light of understanding. So we'll take the word and break it down and find out where it comes from. The one who performs any kind of an act or a verb in Islam, in the Arabic language, is Like, for instance, one who Islams would have the prefix mu in front of it instead of the suffix er after it. Like talk, talker, walk, walker. You have Islam, mu Islam. So anybody who Islams is a mu Islam, Muslim. And Muslims are actually all nations and all races and all peoples, not just Arabs. In fact, the Muslim world population is about 1.5 billion people. It's about 1/5 of the world's population. And maybe 7 million or so in the United States, 250,000 where I live now in Washington, D.C. And it's a fact, though, that 88% of the Muslims in the world are not Arabs. Only 12% are actually Arabs. Look at these guys. What's not to love here? Now, we're going to ask the question, why did the Muslims say Allah? The word Allah in Arabic comes from the word ilah, and it means God, something that can be worshipped. Whereas Allah is the formal name, and it's having no gender, not male nor female, can't be goddess, something like this. And it's never plural, it's always singular, and it actually carries the meaning of the only one to worship. So does Allah equal God? Well, Islam teaches us that Allah is one, He's unique, and He's incomparable. There's none who compares to Him. He's the God, He's the sole creator and sustainer of the universe, and He's ultimate in His names and His attributes. He is, for instance, all merciful, all loving, all forgiving, and He's all just. And by the way, in the Arabic Christian Bible, in the Arabic Jewish Bible, the word Allah is 17 times on page 1. And by the way, I have them. Islam teaches what Allah is and what He's not. He is always, eternal, independent, and sustainer of all. He is not like His creation in any way, or any shape, or any form. And He's never in His creation, and He is not like His creation. We don't say Allah is in me, or He's in this, or He's in that. And it's the fact that the Arab Jews and Christians say Allah when they're talking about Almighty God. Do Muslims worship God, or do they worship a black box in the desert? It doesn't say that here, by the way, but this is what some people say. We do not worship the moon, and we don't worship a black box. What are the sources of Islam? We put Muhammad in the middle because the Quran comes through him, and then we get his explanation of what the Quran means. So he's the center of everything for us to understand. The Quran, though, is the speech of Allah, and it's not considered physical because it's speech. Speech is not physical. It's not man-made. Another way to think of it is called the recitation, the exact recitation of God's words to Muhammad, peace be upon him. The angel Gabriel recited it to Muhammad, peace be upon him. There's only one version. It's in Arabic. It was memorized by Muhammad entirely, memorized by his companions entirely, memorized by Muslims today entirely, and today over 9 million Muslims have memorized the entire Quran in the authentic, original Arabic language. It exists today. So there's no argument over what the Quran says. There's only one version. Now this is important to keep in mind because a lot of people don't really understand about the Quran. In fact, that was the thing that impressed me about it very much when I first heard the person telling us about Islam. Because we were saying, oh, how many versions do you have? He said, one. We're going to talk now about something called the Sunnah. Sunnah means a way to do something. The way that something is normally done is a Sunnah. And the way that Muhammad did things is called his Sunnah, and it was recorded, and each record is called a Hadith. These were memorized by his companions, and the Quran tells us to follow the Sunnah. As it says here, say, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you and forgive your sins. He is forgiving, most merciful. It says this in Leviticus in the Old Testament about Moses as well. It's telling Moses what to say to Bani Israel, to the sons of Israel. Muhammad, peace be upon him, believed in Jesus. He believed in the miracle birth and resurrection. He was called by his family and friends when he was young, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, and the Counselor. He was born in 570 in the Christian era in Becca or Mecca. He is a descendant of Abraham through Ismail. He did miracles and prophecies, and he came with the Quran. He confirmed the previous revelations. See how it got ahead of me? Beliefs and actions in Allah, in Islam we believe in Allah, we believe in the message, we believe in the Quran, the book, the articles of faith, and in the works. So let's see what it is, the faith and works. Well, in Islam we believe that you have to have faith. And these are the things we have faith or belief in. Allah, His angels, His books, His prophets, the day of judgment or resurrection, and the divine decree or predestination that Allah controls the future. Now we'll break those six down and begin. What do we believe about Allah? We believe that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, that He has no partners. You find this also in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, clearly stating over and over that God is one and He has no partners. He is the creator and sustainer of all that exists. None intercedes except by His permission, and He is not the Father, nor is He the Son of anybody. This is also found in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, 23, verse 19. God is not a man, nor is He the Son of man. Angels, they obey Allah. They're made from light, and they include Gabriel, Israfil, and the Malchamoth, the angel of death. The books, we believe about the books that all of them originally came from God. All the books came from God. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms of David, and the last testament, the Quran. If you'd like a free Quran, you can write to us at islamtomorrow.com/free, F-R-E-E. The messengers, what is it we believe about them? Well, first of all, we believe they're human beings, okay? From Adam, Noah, Moses, and all of them, to Muhammad, they all carry the same message. Know that your God is one, worship Him alone, and follow the commandments. The day of judgment, every person is going to be resurrected, by the way. Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, atheists, everybody will be resurrected. That's the good news. Bad news is, not all of them are going to paradise. Everybody will see what they've done on that day. Any good, any evil, they'll see it then. But none will be concerned about the other's deeds on that day. None will carry the weight of another's burden. And none will be able to intercede except by Allah's permission. And finally, the divine decree that Allah already knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. That He knew what would happen before He created everything. He knows what the future is, but we don't. So the divine decree actually causes good and evil, but Allah is pure and He likes pure. He makes everything happen by His command, and none can change their destiny except Allah. The five actions that are required in order to be considered a Muslim are, first of all, to say in public, I bear witness there's none to worship except Allah, Imam is His messenger. To perform the ritualistic worship, pay the charity, fast the month of Ramadan, and do the Hajj or pilgrimage to Mecca once in your life, which you just saw a sample of that in the program right preceding this. Now we're going to break them down and talk about the Shahada. The Shahada is called Shahadatain because there are two things you say. Tain at the end means two. First you say La ilaha illallah, then you say Muhammad or Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God to worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His last messenger. And whoever says this with sincerity is considered a Muslim, and entirely as such. And if he dies in this condition, he dies as a Muslim. And he goes to paradise. Next we'll talk about the worship called Salah. It doesn't really mean prayer. Prayer is just asking God. You can do that anytime. But this is something that's required five times a day to stand, bow, prostrate and perform in a certain direction, to wash before you do it. And this is why in here we like to keep the floor clean, because we put our head down on the floor. But dua can be in the salah, prayer can be in it. but actually the prayer that most people are familiar with, where you just ask God, this can be done any time. That's what these people are doing in the picture. Zakah is a purification of your wealth. It's not an income tax. It's the only tax in Islam. And how you purify your wealth is once a year you take a assessment of what you have not used during that year. 2.5% of that then is given over to the poor. It's not an income tax. And most of us are exempt. Because you have to have a minimum amount before you start paying it. Next we want to talk about Ramadan. Ramadan is fasting, the month on the Muslim calendar called Ramadan. And from the daylight hours only, by the way, in the first year I was a little scared because I said I'll die if I go a whole month without eating or drinking. But it's only during the daylight hours. And if you're a traveler or you're sick, you can make the days up at another time. You just do your best. Now we're going to talk about Hajj. I need to get another picture. Obviously, that's in California. That's not Mecca. Well, we're in California. That happens to be in Los Angeles. Hajj is the performance of the pilgrimage to Mecca once in a life when a person is physically able to do so. These rites began with Abraham and Ismail. And it begins the last month of the Muslim calendar, the lunar calendar called Dhul Hijjah. This is giving an example of what people look like. The one on the far left has not made it yet. The one on the far right is prepared to make it, and the one in the background already made it. That's why their hair looks like that. The guy on the right kind of favors me in life. Now we come to a place where we can stop and talk about some of the questions that people frequently have. There's another PowerPoint presentation for each one of these. I don't want to do that. What I'd rather do is just touch them topically so it gives you a chance to interact. The first one we're going to talk about is the women in Islam. And very frequently I hear people say, why do you Muslims have to beat your wives? Or why do you have to have four wives? Or how come women are so low in Islam, or why are they oppressed? Or why do they have to wear this weird cover and all the rest of it? Have you ever, anybody ever had any of those questions in their mind? Yeah. You have? Well, first of all, be sure you understand that whatever is Islam is well documented. You can check it out and see if that's really what Islam says. Okay, you can do that. And it's preserved in Arabic, so if you have a doubt about the translation, you can go to anybody. And there are Christian Arabs, by the way. Not all Arabs are Muslims. So if you have a doubt on something, you can go and ask them, it doesn't say this or does it say that. They can tell you this is what it says. So that this will remove a lot of doubt from your mind. Second thing is that a Muslim follows, to the best of their ability anyway, what is the Quran and the explanation of it. And the Quran does talk about men and women, but it talks about it more from the standpoint of freeing women up from oppression rather than the other way around. The time that Islam came, 1400 years ago, and in the place that it came in the Arab Peninsula, which we used to call Arabia Felix, the women were in very bad shape. You want to talk about women's rights, these women didn't even have considered personalities. They were used and abused in the worst possible way. The women in those days were owned, inherited, traded off, beaten, trapped worse than slaves. They had nothing. The Arabs in that period of time in that place treated these women with the worst kind of disrespect. You don't want to know what it was like to live in that kind of situation. So when Islam comes, it's saying to the Arabs that they don't have that right to inherit these women against their will. They can't inherit women. Like, in other words, when a boy's mother died, his father died, he inherited his own mother. But they did. People used to try to catch the women who had the most wealth that they got from their husbands when they died, because they just take it away from them. They couldn't keep their wealth. So it really was pathetic. Don't talk about women voting. that's even an option. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the Quran in many places, He gave such dignity to the women that you can't believe it. There's a whole chapter called the women. It's the fourth chapter in the Quran. It's a rather large chapter, and that's the name of it, is the women. And it begins to tell you about women's rights and what they can do. And it's from the standpoint of more what they can do, then you will notice what they can't do. There are some limitations, but nothing compared to the book of Leviticus. I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but it's worth it to sit there and, as I was doing earlier today, and just set the one beside the other and look and see that paragraph after paragraph after paragraph talking about what women can't do, what they can't do, what they can do, and then in the Quran seeing that this is her right. She cannot be married against her will either. You can't marry her off. She has the right to decide who she would like to marry. Another thing that comes up is the subject of divorce, something that even in some churches today still forbid divorce. It's not considered within the realm of the church in certain churches that you can get divorced. And 100 years ago, there were a lot more churches that had that opinion. But Islam was giving the permission for divorce, both from the man and the woman, although not encouraging it by any stretch of the imagination, trying to discourage it at all costs, but yet it's there, it exists. There's a chapter in the Quran called At-Talaq, which means the divorce. Additionally, the woman is given a very nice status in that when Allah speaks to the men and the women, even though the translations don't pick it up, and I'm sorry to tell you, the translations don't do justice to the beauty of the Quran. Because there's a very beautiful verse in chapter 33, verse 35, where it says, it talks about the believing man and the believing woman, the charity-giving man and the charity-giving woman, the fasting man and the fasting woman. But in English they said the believing man and woman, the charity-giving man and woman, and they put it man and woman together. And you might say, well, they're just saving space, but it loses the beauty of the fact that God Almighty, He addressed both, clearly stating this, because in the next verse He said an amazing thing, and He was saying that it's not for the believing man nor for the believing woman that when God and His messenger have decided in a matter that they have any opinion other than what God has said. For the benefit of those who are ready to pray, now, if you don't have your wudu, you need to make it immediately. They're getting ready to do the prayer now. We're going to suspend the program while we do this, and we'll be back after this. And Sister Layla, I'm going to turn the program back to you. Although I can't release it, I don't know what we can do there because it's in another room. But we will be back in about 15 minutes. I need to pray.
Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. 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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.